Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Joel Elston here. Today is Thursday, December the 6th, 2018. It's 8 a.m. New York time, 5 a.m. Los Angeles time, 1 p.m. London time, and in Sydney, Australia, it's lunchtime. So hello, everybody, wherever you are in the world. Thank you for tuning in if you're listening live. Thank you for tuning in if you're listening to the recording. Either way, thank you for tuning in. We love you. We appreciate you guys, and we love all of our wonderful members of our audience who we are hearing from more and more, and we're enjoying that fact. And we're hoping to hear from more people today because we're doing yet another live stream to the Facebook Law of Attraction Changed My Life group. And this is going to be another Q&A. We're going to try to invite more and more people to, you know, bring their questions or bring their commentary or, you know, tell us about what's working or what's not working. And we'll use our expert of the day, Joel Elston, to give you the answers to life, the universe, and everything. Are you a Douglas Adams fan, Joel? I never really asked you that.
Not that I'm not. I'm just not that familiar. I'm just lightly familiar.
Oh, okay. So you didn't read the series of books or anything like that. So that's fine. That's no problem.
No.
You know, but it just seems like it would be appropriate because you do know everything. Well, it seems like that sometimes.
Yeah, I have a lot of somebody asked me a question, then I random answer to it, and it. They just laughed. They said, how would you even know that? It was actually a question about pet CPR, like animal CPR.
Okay.
And, I'm like, well, I just happen to have an answer for that. And they laughed. Said, well, because I work with so many people in life, they're going through different – I just get these random experiences that I'm always shocked how they come back. And one of the things that's really big in the Richmond area is these – people who do like dog walking, there's an app for that where you can have somebody come walk your dog. And brilliant idea. Of course, I didn't think of the app part.
Right.
But one of the qualifications in training is you have to have pet CPR.
Well,
you know, that, and so there is a way to get your pet CPR certification online with videos for $14.95, if I remember correctly. So the fact I knew that. Just blew my client away. Said, "Well, he was trying to figure out, are you hooked to Google or something in your head, or like, that's crazy?"
Which is not actually all that far away, to be perfectly honest. But it's cool. I have to say.
Yeah, well, I'm in, and I would be the first one to sign up for that.
I probably would too. I mean, it depends what the strings are attached. But if the strings aren't too cumbersome, I'd probably sign up for that because I always want to be asking questions of Google or, you know, investigating or researching or whatever. So, yeah, I'd be with you on that.
I have random questions. One of the things that I've ordered that I'm usually one of the first adopters on, you know, to different type technology. And, and I don't always use it, but Amazon had their Alexa or their Echo format is they have a mobile one coming that's going to sit on your dash of your car that integrates with home and everything else. And I'm on the beta testing group for that. So mine's going to be arriving any day. So I will be able to literally, as I'm spending my day, it connects with your phone. It has all this interaction. So, I mean, I could be hooked up and just, I just can't wait for all the options that are going to be available to me.
And you could have one more opportunity to piss off your adopted son when he wants to know what time it is. I love that post that you did, by the way.
It's one of those things that you have all this. I love to study all things, and it seems we've talked about this, and you know, most of my we do a podcast on the Law of Attraction, which is. To me, it's the name of the folder, so to speak, the of the outline of all my studies. It's sort of the Law of Attraction concept. However, even underneath that, most people have Law of Attraction sort of, as a category underneath. Law of Attraction is my top category. But within that, I like to look at all information. I like to look at conflicting information. I like to see just different views. And you know what I've been amazed at over the years is there are so many just so many Alfred Adler is a sort of a he was a colleague of Sigmund Freud.
Mm-hmm, right.
And where Freud was more about sort of, and this is, you know, again, anybody that disagrees, please call Walt at, or Walt at LOA today. But Freud was more of a sort of like, stuff has happened to you and that's why you behave the way you do.
Right.
Where Adler was more about the development of the individual personality and understanding and accepting the sort of the inner consciousness or the interconnectedness of all humans. And so and it's funny how it's just years ago for our audience that are old enough, when the VCR first came out, the Betamax, Sony Betamax was the same technology, but a little better.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody adopted the VCR format, which is a bigger, more cumbersome tape, not as good as quality, but it's the one that became the what everybody chose. It became sort of the mainstream.
Right.
And it's not better. It works fine. It worked fine for mm-hmm. a period of time. And neither are of today's standards. But
right.
It's sort of, I look at that, you know, why did Freud's techniques or beliefs tend to dominate psychology today? Versus the Adler concepts, which are more about let's help people help themselves with their own. And he is an indirect, or I mean, he's a believer in the law of attraction, whether he realized that he was a believer in the law of attraction or not. But he's very much about the goal-oriented, you fix you kind of mentality. And I just, you know, so the reason I bring that up, within the spectrum of all we're doing, there's just, it's always something to learn, always something to grow toward. And I find so many supporting concepts that I love learning. I love all that comes with that. And I can imagine it's pretty obnoxious to some people as well.
Probably.
There goes Joel on a tangent again. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Yeah, that's all right. That works out okay. You know, and all this is kind of a lead up to say what we start off by saying with today's show, and that is, this is an opportunity for people who are listening live to the podcast as we're live streaming it. I mean, obviously you can't do this if you're listening to the recorded version, but if you're listening live, we want you to comment and you know, add questions and so forth, because Joel is great at answering these questions. I even have an answer once in a while. And, you know, we'd love to be able to help you out with what you're trying to deal with in your life. So if you're tuned in and wanting to listen to what a couple of older guys have to say about the law of attraction, put a question into the comments section. We'd love to address it. To your point, Joel, my view is the law of attraction is life. And I say that because we have been taught by Abraham and by others that the law of attraction is one of the three universal laws. It is, as far as they can tell, it applies everywhere in the universe, not just here on Earth and in our little solar system. It applies in every single aspect of life. And so the way I look at it is the law of attraction is just part of life, which means that when we do when our topic is the law of attraction, our topic is life and every aspect of life. And if that includes, you know, thinking about putting little computers into our heads so we can Google, that's part of the law of attraction. And if it's about talking about a long-dead psychotherapist, that's law of attraction. It's all part of the whole thing. So, you know, that's my view anyway.
Well, in that interconnectedness of you know, that other people's energy. I mean, even people who don't believe in the way I believe, or they readily will admit, yes, I could be around some people and my energy is raised, and I could be around some people and my energy is
sure. Low. Oh yeah, everybody.
There are people. Yeah, and so you know, most people, if they're honest, can report that.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I was sitting with a client the other day that came in, and he was very. He deals with chronic pain. It's unidentified.
Wow.
He's been placed in the big category of fibromyalgia, but
oh, yeah.
Even the doctor that diagnosed that just said it's just sort of a catch-all for this because I don't have any other name for it. And so we were talking, and he tried all these different medications, and some helped, some didn't, some created other problems, and so we were just talking, and I got him to tell me about the best time of his life, and he was talking about, you know, when he was younger and he was, you know, actually building his life up and, you know, he didn't have a lot at the time. He's doing well now financially, but the rest of his life is not going as he wishes. And so, but as he was talking about this time when he was building his company and building his world, and facing the challenges of not knowing whether he'd pay the bills tomorrow. You know, the pace of his speech increased, and he leaned forward, and he got really excited just describing of all that he went through, and obviously a great time of his life.
Mm.
And so I stopped him right in the middle when it was just really clear. He was very enthusiastic. I said, without thinking, how is your pain right now?
Oh,
and he
yeah.
stopped, and he goes, it's not here.
Mm-hmm.
I said, yeah. I said, see, you are focused, and that gave him that concept. So the problem is you've achieved and you stopped achieving. And he actually told me, he said, you know, it's funny, until I started telling you that story, I always viewed that portion of struggle in my life as a negative time. But he said, as I'm looking at it, I'm like, no, it's not a negative time. It simply is what, I mean, it's amazing that we got there. And I was excited during that time. I had a great life during that time. And mm-hmm. That showed him that during that time of growth is when he felt the most alive.
Mm-hmm.
When he's sitting there with just nothing to grow toward, his life hurts. It physically hurts. And that was he knew he needed to engage. So he started a couple new projects. He's getting to be his old self again. He said his pain's greatly reduced unless he, of course, thinks about it. So the point of that is that energy, that thought process, has a great effect on how we feel.
Right.
And he is in charge of that. Traditionally, a lot of people would say, well, you're just depressed. Well, okay, in a big spectrum, maybe he is, but it's not a medical depression or a clinical depression as much as a situational malaise, so to speak. And,
mm-hmm.
and you know, when you get caught up in that negativity, it just brings on more negativity. But just being able to figure out how to tell your story with excitement changes that. And that's a really big tool you can use with people and yourself when you find yourself in that void, the woe is me mindset.
Yeah, sure. In fact, I think that was also a Mike Dooley quote today. I think it was in today's, he sends out those notes to the universe, or notes from the universe, rather, in an email format. It goes out, I think it's 5-6 days a week, something like that. And today's message was something along the lines of, when you look back on your life, isn't it amazing how almost everything that you see is positive? There's much more positive than there is negative. And it's true for everybody. Isn't that an amazing thing? And it is an amazing thing. First, it shows the power and endurance of the human mind and the human spirit. But secondly, like you point out, it's all about how you're looking at it. And over time, because of the growth that happens, we look back and realize, wow, a lot of good stuff happened. We don't say because of all the growth that happened, but that's what it all adds up to.
Yes. Yes. And that part of what you're describing, and I forget the name of the book, but there's a gentleman who wrote a book, and it was, if I think of the name of it, I'll share as we go, but the concept of the book is he started just from a factual standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people, when you tell the story of today's society, of where we're at and what we have going on, if we generally view these are dark times, things are bad right now, and he's pointing out just the raw facts. Violent crime over the last 20 years is drastically reduced.
Mm.
People dying of various diseases have been drastically reduced. The number of people that are without food without good drinking water has been drastically reduced. Now there's areas that we've fallen on the wayside as well, but the overall trends are for improvement. The idea that we are in a better place than we were even 50 years ago is just factually accurate, but the narrative, we must return back to the good old days. Well, we're in better days than the good old days by most measures. And that's important. And that's how you tend to look at it. Like I said, I see much more positive out in the world, in real life world, than I do. I see much more positive, I see negative. And if I were to turn on the news, they are a deliverer of nothing but negative news.
Mm-hmm.
And that's becomes reality, and that's what people believe happened. That's where the law of attraction comes in.
Oh,
you get to view what you want to view. The filter you wear determines what you see. If you're filtering for positive, there's a bunch of positive out there.
There is. A whole bunch. Even among the negative. I mean, we have this tendency to say that we don't want to talk about politics, and then we talk about politics. but when I look, for instance, at the Trump situation, and particularly the Russia investigation, I had a conversation yesterday with somebody about this, somebody who's really troubled by everything that's going on. And I didn't even give this any thought. I was just saying it. I found myself saying, you know, everybody's so upset about what's going on. And, you know, there's negative stuff going on. But I compare this to like Watergate, because I remember Watergate. I think you do too. When Watergate was going on, it not only felt dark, but the movies feel dark. I mean, because there were movies about what happened at Watergate, right? There's All the President's Men. Now there's the Post that came out, which is pre-Watergate, sort of like the prequel to Watergate. And there have been other movies as well. And they're all like spy versus spy, very dark, you know, spooky music playing in the background and so forth. And I commented to this person, you know, when they finally do the movies about the Trump era and the Russia investigation, they're not going to present it as a horror movie. They're going to present it as a Shakespearean farce, because that's what it is. It's a farce. It's so crazy. It's laughable. It's going to be a comedy show. And when you're in the middle of it, you can't see the comedy. I can actually see the comedy. I laugh at it every day, but most people can't see the comedy. And yet I'll bet you after we come out of this, it's going to be looked at as just like a court jester era. Because it's just so ludicrous, the stuff that's coming out. I mean, nobody could possibly believe the stuff that's coming out. It's crazy what's coming out. So it's all how you look at it.
Well, and that's the, you know, that's that perspective. It's what you're going to be viewing, because regardless of what your beliefs or where you are with this political system we have set up now and what's going on politically, I've witnessed in my lifetime there are events that happen that create a boomerang effect, and that have actually their catalyst for improvement. And sometimes the negative creates the positive improvement. I know a lot of people that I talk about that say these are great times because they're bringing about the changes we need. Sometimes you need absurdity.
Hell yeah.
You realize, wow. And so it does that. One of the stories I think I've shared with you over the years is, to me, it's a very sad story with a very incredible response. And this is the law of attraction applied to the most negative situation you could possibly imagine. We've talked in the past about John Walsh, the creator of America's Most Wanted.
Right.
And the concept of John was how he even got started. He was just a normal man. He had a wife and an 8-year-old or 6-year-old son, maybe. And his name was Adam. And Adam and his mom were shopping at a Sears in Hollywood, Florida, back in 1981.
Mm-hmm.
And shorten the story. I mean, she panicked. All of a sudden, her son was gone.
Mm.
And she couldn't find him, and the police couldn't. They didn't have they weren't prepared, and they didn't know how to look for him, and they couldn't help him. And it was a long story and how they get in that. Well, unfortunately, he was killed and had been abused, and so John Walsh, his response to that ungodly horrid event began a process of affecting legislation.
Mm-hmm.
He started with Sears, and at the time a very young Walmart.
Mm.
And he started a program. If you're ever in a Walmart and you hear Code Adam,
mm-hmm.
that is a child is lost, the doors are locked, the police are called, nobody's in or out. It's this amazing process that has been implemented, I'm aware of, several times over the last since it was started, and saved kids' lives. He also is the one that pushed for further background checks and fingerprinting in a national registry. Used to be you could molest a child in one state, move to another state, there's no record of it.
Right.
He started a national registry. He had legislation happen. John Walsh has saved more children than probably anybody on the planet, and it all came from his horrid loss.
Right.
And I'm not trying to make his son's loss. He would give, you know, my God, we don't even want to do that debate, but it was such an amazing thing. He responded with horror, with saving other children's lives.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that type of response to events. And again, how you take something, bad stuff happens and how we respond to it. So
right.
There's the law of attraction is at play on all sides.
Mm-hmm.
And it we can respond to things how we choose. And that gives you the power. I get to be
it
built
does.
Up by stuff. There's stuff in my life that had the equal shot of destroying me, which eventually strengthened me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing to me.
It is amazing. It's fantastic.
It's a huge power to have access to. Yes.
The good news is it doesn't have to be a traumatic event. It doesn't have to be something as catastrophic as that in order to be a springboard. I discovered that just this past week with the medical issue my wife's been going through because we end up getting what was an inaccurate diagnosis. One of my co-hosts described it as malpractice, but we got an inaccurate diagnosis that was kind of an off-the-cuff one and found out a couple of days later, no, it was wrong, and what's actually going on is much more treatable and much, much less scary than what was originally told to us. And so, you know, all's well that ends well, as they say. Well, nevertheless, that gave me this, when we were in the middle there, when we thought that we were still dealing with the much worse diagnosis, it gave me a tremendous surge of passionate desire to overcome it and to just, no, I mean, this is my wife we were talking about, because the worst diagnosis would have been just a horrible impact on her life and a shortening of her life and all that kind of thing. And I was just determined it wasn't going to be that. And then 2 days later, we get the news, well, it wasn't that. But that surge of passion served me in ways that I didn't expect. First of all, it got some really quick results because it happened within a couple of days that we got the better news. Secondly, it kind of got me off my schneid, so to speak. It got me to start taking some steps that I hadn't been ready to take before, that I really needed to take, but I just hadn't been ready to take. I can't keep waiting on this kind of thing. And I even told you just before the podcast, I have been a person all my life who never wanted to really join a gym. Well, I also know that I'm in horrible physical condition. It's not like I'm, you know, deathly ill or anything like that, but I could really do a lot to get myself in good condition. I finally found a local gym that I can afford. Most of them are pretty expensive around here, but I finally found what I can afford, and I think I'm actually going to go join a gym. You practically fell out of your chair when you heard that. Well, that happened.
That's massive.
You know, so that became a springboard for me to make a very, very positive change out of what could have been a very negative situation. But the point being, it didn't have to be really negative, and it wasn't. It actually turned out to be a fairly manageable situation. So it can be anything. It's like Abraham talks about how we live in a world of contrast, and we dip into the contrast, and then we come shooting out with this new rocket of desire, as they call it. And that's exactly what happened. I developed in that one incident last week, I developed more passion than I'd experienced in the last year just because I dipped into that contrast. And, you know, things happen when you do that. Oh, by the way, before I go further, I want to make sure we haven't said anything in a few minutes and we haven't had any comments or anything. But if you're listening to the live stream of this, the main purpose of this is to answer people's questions. So we haven't gotten any questions. So Joel and I are talking about law of attraction related stuff, but feel free if you're listening to the live stream to just put a question into the comments section here in the Facebook Law of Attraction Changed My Life group, and we'll be happy to address it. Or maybe just have a comment about what we're talking about. But meantime, we'll just keep going because Joel and I can talk forever. We've done this for a number of years.
Yeah. And you know, there are countless, stories of people who, have experienced, growth events.
Mm-hmm.
There's a term that I always try to help people understand. There's a growth mindset. There's a victim mindset.
Mm-hmm.
And when things happen, your response is going to be usually one or the other.
Right.
And sometimes both. And there's multiple stories of people that I'm aware of that were suicidally depressed, and then an event happens and it made them realize they wanted to live, and then they lived their best life after that.
Right.
Sometimes things come along and it's a catalyst to your best life. And that's what the law of attraction will give you, that ability. It doesn't this was a question I had, you know, if the law of attraction, why, one guy asked me, said, why is it punishing me? And I said, your arrogance means to think the law of attraction cares. The law of attraction doesn't care.
I never heard of that as arrogance.
I needed to get through to this guy. So it's your arrogance that makes you think you're being punished. I said, the law of attraction is just responding to what you put out there. So you're whining about what you're putting out there, and it's responding. So some people, that sounds a little negative, some people, but some people really need to be sort of rattled that way because, you know, and it does help with that personality type to sit there and look at it that way. So you're right. He did. He came right back with it. He said, never looked at it that way, but you're correct. My mindset's creating this. It's not the law of attraction. So the law of attraction creates nothing. It fulfills orders. It doesn't create orders. It fulfills orders. You're signing up for, you're asking for, and that's what it's delivering.
Right.
It has no, it isn't artificial intelligence. It doesn't know what you really want. It just goes by what you're really asking for and what you're feeling. And it goes by what you're feeling. If you're feeling lack, just serve up some more lack.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what it does.
And
once you understand that, it actually doesn't help. It makes it harder. Now you got to figure out how to make yourself really feel at a deep level.
It's interesting you should mention that because it's something that I've been kind of trying to figure some stuff out. When we do a weekly or actually a daily podcast, like I do with the help of you and so many other fine co-hosts, I become more and more sensitive, probably kind of similar to the way you are with your clients. I become sensitive to, you know, what are the different ways that I can help people and how can I help them, you know, achieve their goals and overcome their trials and so forth. And in the process of exploring that, I've really become appreciative, I guess the word is. I've become very appreciative of how important it is to discipline myself and to encourage other people. I don't even like the word discipline. Intently focus. Learn to intently focus on what it is that I want and literally take my mind off of what I don't want. And I've also been really realizing how important it is to do that gently. Because, I mean, you found a particular situation where the guy kind of needed a little bit of a 2x4 to the side of the head, so you gave him that. But much of the time, we are our own worst critics. We're downest on ourselves. We're more down on ourselves than on anybody else. And that's the part that made me realize we need to kind of be gentle on ourselves. We got to kind of cut ourselves some slack. Okay, you know, so I've been focusing on the wrong stuff. Doesn't mean I have to beat myself up about it. It just means I have to change my focus and focus intently on what I want. And as I've been really focused on that concept, I'm finding, first of all, cool ideas coming. Second, I'm finding cool input coming from our listeners and from co-hosts and people not even connected to the podcast. And all that's law of attraction, of course. And I'm finding also that it's helping me improve my focus, which I can't honestly, I'd love to be able to sit here and tell you that I didn't really intend that. That's exactly what I intended. That's precisely what I was hoping was going to happen. I was hoping that if I could find a way to help somebody else improve their focus, that it would also help me find a way to improve my focus. And that's exactly what's happened. My desire and my ability have increased, and I'm liking it. I'm doing now a thing where Cindy Chavez and I have talked quite a bit about the teachings of Neville Goddard, and one of the ways that we've explained what he teaches is to create what we're calling a vignette. A vignette being like a 5 to 10 second little video image that we create in our minds about what it's like immediately after X, whatever X is that you're trying to attract, immediately after X shows up in your life. What happens? Are you celebrating? Are you shaking hands with somebody? Are you looking out on the vista of your new property? Or, you know, what is it that you're doing? And then you play that vignette over and over and over again. Well, I found myself creating a whole bunch of vignettes that I'd never created before for stuff that I want to attract into my life. And I'm actually starting to play those vignettes in my head. Well, that's progress. That's big progress. And that came out of simply wanting to help other people focus better. So, you know, it's I'm not sure exactly how I'm tying this into what you were talking about, other than to say I didn't really have to do it from a place of like big trauma or something like that. But I did start with something that was contrast, that was, you know, slightly negative. That was, how do I help somebody else and inadvertently help myself? And look what came out of it.
Well, you don't have to have these horrific events. You don't have to have a John Walsh experience.
Yeah, right.
To go do great things. I use the extreme examples because anything short of that is obviously easier to do. And, you know, it's funny you said how your concept of how do I help other people helped you the most. One of the tools that I use, I forget which guru I got this from, but, it certainly wasn't my idea, but the concept simply was, I asked the question, what do you want? You've certainly told me what you don't want.
Right.
And oftentimes the hardest question for newer clients to answer is what they want. And so I said, well, you know, in the meantime, and it's okay not to know what you want, but you certainly have unintentionally have attracted all the stuff you don't want. So
Right. One
of the most effective ways to help get you to where you need to be, if you don't know what you want, find somebody who is clear on what they want and their passion and something you agree with, obviously, of their passion, and help them achieve it.
Mm.
You go help them achieve their passion, and along the way, your passion will come your way.
That's
will
a good
do
point.
That because you're in the mindset of doing it.
Yeah.
I've watched empires built by doing that. I've seen people hop in helping other people. It's one of my great success stories, and this wasn't at my direction. Somebody else had told this guy to do this, but a gentleman in Atlanta had lost his company, and he had a sort of a tool and die company, and making stuff, and he lost it. He didn't really know what to do, and somebody said, well, you know, find somebody who's on a mission, and help them do that. Well, this one of his buddies had just started this pizza shop.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, pizza shops are all over the place. And,
yep.
And so he said, well, he went to his buddy. His buddy said, I want to help you. I know you've spent your life doing this. You and your dad wanted to do it. And the guy said, I can't pay. And he said, well, right now I don't really care. I want to help you make your mission. Long story short, through a chain of events, they started a small pizza chain that ended up selling and doing very well. They got wealthy off of it. And it started with him helping him. He didn't have the passion about the pizza, but his friend did.
Right.
But it led to other stuff, and they've had other business ventures together. So when you're in doubt, find somebody who knows what they want and go help them achieve it. And that's sort of what you're saying. How do I help other people? When you find something that helps other people, you often will find the answer to your own stuff. I'm always doing that. I'm always applying new stuff, and I love it. It feels invigorating, and some of my best self-development tools have been from researching how to help other people with their problems.
That makes sense. And actually, we have a listener who's taking that to heart because she's asked a question. First, I want to acknowledge Bronwyn, who said good morning. Hi, Bronwyn. How you doing? And then Paula has got a question for us to address. So here's what she has to say. She says, my husband lost his job on Friday. It's the second job he has lost this year. The money situation is difficult. Only saying it like this so you know. I work on me, LOA wise, but will it work if my husband doesn't? He has depression and it's hard to keep him upbeat, etc. These negative things then affect me. That's a common situation, isn't it? Where you have a couple and one person's mental outlook actually can affect the other person.
And first of all, I really am sad to hear the situation. It's easy to sit back and for us to say, oh, have a positive attitude. Trust me, I know what it's like to be in those scenarios, and I've been through them myself.
Mm.
And so one of the first laws of the concept of law of attraction is we can only be in charge of us.
Yeah.
That's all we can do.
Mm-hmm.
We can treat our loved ones with unconditional positive regard. We can see them as successful. We can have a positive thought for them, but we can't bring them to this. You can bring the information to them. You can hopefully share that with them, but you can't make that. You can't do that for them.
Right.
But I have seen situations where spouses or good friends or whatever they just come in with their own positive. The answer is going to be there for. I'm sorry. What is the young lady's name?
Paula.
Paula, the answer is going to be there for Paula, where she works on her financial situation, even though it is entwined, has its own answer. If she gets her abundance in tune, then our hope is that, number one, and I've actually watched this happen, her husband sees the difference when she's so upbeat that he's able to pick up on that. And also a side note, while I never want to give the intention that she'd use the word depressed or down or low, I always have to say that if he does truly have a pure clinical depression, it's probably wise to at least seek the advice of a medical doctor.
Yes.
I have that as a disclaimer. I'm not at any level suggesting that. However, but if it's just more of a situational feeling low and down, then that energy vibration of what Paula could bring to the table of can help lift him up. And it's a very difficult thing. In the book, The Secret, there's a few examples of that.
Right.
Rhonda speaks of people have been through that. I really go back to that. They're very good, effective tools. In fact, in this case, rereading The Secret would be a helpful. Or if you're into the Abraham Hicks, they talk a lot about that as well.
Yep.
And if you're really out there with me, you can go read some of the Seth stuff. That's a whole different level. But the idea that sort of getting that, here's another true story that I've witnessed happen. These weren't clients, but these are people that I've met along my journey. And a husband was a high-end attorney for a law firm in New York City and was making incredible money. The wife, they're a great family. They were doing really good things. And, well, the husband got into the middle of a political situation and really sort of became – however we got there, he ended up losing his job and lost a lot of prestige.
Wow.
Well, they were – they had a lot of money, but they were used to spending a lot of money. So quickly the money they had saved up was starting to – so they were living in a lack, and there's it's hard to find million-dollar-a-year jobs. They
can't
grow on trees. So she was very upset, very worried that, what are we going to do? Well, she started practicing the law of attraction. It started with The Secret and a lot of Abraham Hicks stuff. And all she could focus on was her and her abundance.
Mm-hmm.
Well, one of the things she did for fun was she started, she had helped a friend. They would do catering for small events, and I don't quite understand it, but they would throw these parties for these wealthy families, like their little girls. They would have like these tea parties, but very high end. She started doing that more and more for money, and then it turned into a mini catering service. And
wow,
her business started to take off. He became the business manager there. They ended up having multiple locations throughout the United States.
Wow.
They franchised it. And it again, she's the one that started the abundance and brought him to. You can't fix anyone else with the law of attraction.
Right.
But you can make your life attract others to the concept. And when I say that to Paula, I beg everyone to understand. I'm not saying it's easy, and I'm not minimalizing where Paula's at. It is a very difficult time. I have been through some very dark times financially, and I hated when somebody would say, oh, well, it'll get better. Even though it did, I don't want to act like I'm minimalizing what this goes through. It is a very dark time, but when you're able to pull yourself out of the darkness, focus on your abundance, and that my hope is Paula's husband will come on board and see where that goes, or minimally Paula's direction sort of lifts both of them out of the darkness that they're in and gets them to that next level. But I can't predict how it goes, but I do know that worrying about it and focusing on the negative side of it will certainly bring more of the stuff you're
absolutely
not wanting in your life. I do know that factually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, definitely. In fact, I think she knows that, too. I could just tell from the way she was writing that. I don't know what her husband knows about his own situation, but I'll throw this out because this is what happened with me and my wife. Before I discovered the law of attraction, my wife sat me down one time, and it was at a time when, just kind of like this, I mean, I was self-employed rather than having lost a job, but there wasn't a whole lot of money coming in. It was pretty meager. And, you know, the debts were piling up and so forth. And Louise said to me, do you realize that most of the stuff coming out of your mouth these days is negative? And I denied it. I said, no, it's not. I mean, I'm a positive person. But she persisted and you know, started showing me examples. And I had to honestly admit that, my God, like 99% of everything that I was saying had a negative tint to it. And as I began to realize that, I started to turn my depressed situation into a springboard, kind of like what we were talking about earlier, where you dip into the contrast and it's really unpleasant. You shoot off this rocket of desire, as Abraham says, and you just get this passion to start changing your life in some way. Well, that happened with me. So I don't know what her husband's situation is, but if they've never had a conversation like that, it might be useful. He may not be aware. He may not. I don't know what degree of awareness he has about his own depression. I don't know what degree of awareness he has about his own negative focus right now. But if he's not aware, it might be good to bring it to his attention. It might be eye opening for him.
Well, and I know the. I got an email in the middle of the night one night from someone who I don't know exactly was from my book or where or my website or even listening to the show. So they never said how they ran across. They said, well, I saw something you wrote and that led me to, and I've been spending the last 5 hours looking at videos on the law of attraction. And he said, it's like a miracle in 5 hours, how I've changed my perspective already. And I've spent my entire life in this negative, just anticipating awfulizing state of mind and
right.
keep bringing more awful situations because I'm awfulizing everything to the end. And he said, I just discovered that. And he said, I just want to say thank you. And I'm heard already back. Thank you. Please let me know how it goes. Now I never heard back from him, but the concept that when you can bring an awareness, it, you know, people, it doesn't do any good, to say, You're negative, Walt. You're negative, Walt. Without there being an answer to that, you know what I mean?
It's, right.
You have a bunch of negatives, but being able to say, I'm sure you're unaware, or how and you and Louise have such a you know great relationship, and she and Louise is a therapist by trade, so she's
right.
quite clever. So
she is. She's amazing.
And so Louise's ability to see that, but you know, even before you're a practitioner of the law of attraction. You have a general positive view of life. You want to be upbeat. You have a good energy. You have a positive energy. So for somebody who you care about and who would say nothing, but supportive stuff, for Louise to say to you nothing but negative stuff's coming out of your mouth, that had to jolt your system.
Oh, it did.
In some ways.
Yeah. Yeah, it did in a huge way. In fact, I was surprised that she said something like that. And I'll be honest, I was a little offended too. But it was a good kind of offended because it did make me stop and take stock. And when I did, I honestly had to say, you know what? There's something to this. And Paul has more information for us. Paul, let's get this additional information. He has clinical depression, so he has been diagnosed, and he's on meds, but it has gotten worse. She says, I have made him aware of how negative he is, but he is still like it. I do appreciate both of you giving advice, and I will keep focusing on building myself up LOA-wise, thank you again. So, okay, so there's more information to work with.
Well, and that's really good, and I encourage anyone, and I'm glad that he is working with a professional.
Yes.
I really, really, that one of the things, Walt, this is, people assume there's some really good doctors out there, and there's some that aren't quite so good. So I really strongly suggest that there are answers to these questions, but it's very seldom someone walks into a doctor's office and they say, here's the exact medication for your exact condition and everything's fine. So again, I would encourage multiple opinions or revisiting or maybe adjusting medications. If he's interested in that, again, I'm not eliciting, you know, giving him medical advice here. I'm just
right.
saying it is always wise to be proactive in that. And, you know, like you mentioned earlier, If Paula's in control of Paula's world, she sounds like an incredible lady that is very much a believer in the law of attraction.
Yeah.
She's going to pull herself up. But here's an example of something that I have seen worked as well. if Paula could get her husband, like, to the gym, like, you're going to the gym.
Right.
Get him moving. You know, get some movement. Go on a walk with him. Do, and again, I don't know the situation, but if he's doing stuff like that, it's when you look at a combination, and I forget the study, and people on medication along for depression, let's say they say 40% report significant improvement within 1 year. Then you look at someone who's on medication and counseling, they report something like 62% improvement over 1 year.
Right.
When you report, when somebody's on medication, exercise, and counseling, it's something like 78% report of an improvement in 1 year. And so it goes up, and there's similar numbers even when you know, as long as the movement piece, because the body and the brain need movement to do that. It goes as far as what we eat.
Right.
A lot of our antidepressant chemicals in the brain actually are built in the gut. There's a lot of stuff like that. So I get excited. I think that Paula is showing us, and I think that's what her intuitive question is here. His depression, losing the jobs, is probably from the depressive mindset.
Right.
It's hard to keep jobs and be depressed because that depression feeling, if clinical or not, is what the law of attraction is picking up on. And that's where people in depressions get stuck in downward spirals.
Exactly.
So,
yeah.
You know, but just like she said, at the end of the day, her control is only over her immediate thoughts and feelings. And I really have a deep hope that helps continue to lift her husband. And you know, she obviously is a caring woman. And I love her reaching out. I love the fact that let's do this. Let's get better. Let's help her. I hope continues this path, that she continues to improve. And then that lifts him up as well.
Mm-hmm.
She certainly will be uplifted by her stuff as well.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And we both hope that. I'm sure all of our listeners hope that too, and really are pouring out the energy for her. The thing I'd like to add also is that the experience I had with my wife this past week reminded me of how powerful it is to improve not just how I'm feeling in my life in general, but also how I feel when I interact with my wife. Because it was my wife, and is my wife, who's still going through this medical situation, and it had brought both of us down, as I had related earlier, and I realized that I had a pattern that had been going on for some time where I do these podcasts. I get so jazzed doing the podcast. I'm excited and so forth. And then I go to talk to her, and immediately I bring myself down to a low level because that's where she's at. But what happened this past week was I realized how important it was for me to stay at the high level and interact with her that way. And when I did, because that's what I started to do, when I did, I could see it helping to pull her out. It was like I had thrown her a rope. And in throwing her the rope,
yeah,
she reached for the rope. And, I mean, it didn't happen immediately. It took some time. It took days. But she slowly started climbing up because I was giving her a rope to a higher place. Abraham talks about this a lot. They talk about how you really can't send love to somebody. You really can't send positive energy to somebody unless you're feeling the love and the positive energy. If you're in a low place, you can't help them. There's nothing you can do to help them from a low place. But you can do tremendous things to help people when you're in a high vibration place. So that just reinforces what you're saying.
Yeah, and that frequency we talk about, and that in my mind, that literal vibrational frequency we're putting out there, it doesn't lie. You can't fake it. It's not it is a real, and that's why the law of attraction can't be fooled. That's why you have to work on that real feeling. What you're really feeling is what you're putting out there. So when you're able to control what you're really feeling, she picks up on that vibrationally. That
right.
lifts her up. She's in a much better place to deal with it. Every doctor, even the most adamant doctor that just thinks all we talk about is absolute silliness, even those doctors will agree that a patient's attitude toward their treatment is a massive factor in the outcome of their treatment.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's huge.
Yeah.
And it's just indisputable, actually.
I share that. This has been probably a couple of years ago, we talked about this, but I had this one doctor and I were having this debate, and we were in actually in the conference room of his medical office, and I was doing some work for him, and he said, you know, this law of attraction thing, it just doesn't work. And I'm like, and I'm like, well, it does. And I said, we went back and forth a little bit. I said, look, I'm telling you, I'll defer to you. If you tell me that this antibiotic doesn't work on that infection, I am absolutely going to defer to you, but you cannot tell me what has worked miracles in my life is not working. And he said, and I love this, he said, Joel, the only reason it worked for you is because you believe it worked for you. And my answer was simple when I said, thank you. Yeah, he's right. You just made my own argument. Yes.
Case closed.
Made my own argument. And he sort of laughed. He goes, yeah, I guess. He's not the guy that's ever going to admit he's wrong.
Right.
You get my point.
Yeah.
Whatever we approach something, you know, when I have a major decision, when you mentioned the gym earlier, which I'm thrilled that you're going to be doing that. When I have a rule in my life, if I have a major decision, I will not make the decision until I am done with a workout. I'll go work out. That puts me on my best mindset vibrationally and emotionally across the board. I'm in a great mindset, and my decision will be made in that mindset. Any decision I make in a low vibrational mindset is almost guaranteed to be the wrong decision.
Right. Yep. Hey, we got one more question. I want to make sure we get in before we run out of time here. Shireen posted something, and she's posted something about this previously. We've tried to help her, but she's still struggling. I can tell based on what she's writing. She says, I'm focusing on what I want, not what I am afraid of. I want peace of mind and heart and a full-time job or even part-time job. And then she says, I want hope in life again.
Okay. And I believe her when she says she wants those things. But oftentimes the things we want the most are what we're putting out there the least. I mean, it's obviously I want hope. That statement of I want hope almost indicates some resistance to hope. I don't have hope. I would like some versus I have incredible hope. I have feeling the hope. I have hope, being the hope. Having that vibrational energy of I'm full of hope. Hope is the basis. The reason that she gets up every morning, the reason that you woke up today and get up out of bed, and whether you can feel or not, what keeps a human being going is hope of improvement, hope of something better, hope of growth. Now, not everybody lives that mindset, realize it, but you get up and you're motivated to go do stuff because of hope. So there is the hope there, but feeling the hope, feeling the job. With, you know, one of the most amazing things when I'm coaching people on jobs, getting jobs, we've said this a million times, well, it is 100 times easier to get a job when you have a job. Don't know why, except that you already have a job, you have a belief. So when you desperately are needing a job, you're putting out that energy. So by focusing on what, not so much what you want, because when you suggest I want that, you are suggesting that you don't have it. Is that clear? Am I saying that where it makes sense?
Yeah, because we can look at it either way. When we're wanting something, we can be wanting it from the point of view of, oh, I don't have it. Or we can want it from the point of view of, yeah, I want that. And it's an entirely different vibration depending on which of those sides we're on.
Right. Or I have that. I have an abundance. I have an abundance. I have an abundance of options. I can go do, and it's hard to feel that when you're there, but the law of attraction is going to respond to, yes, I'm working. I am already prepared to accept the job. I forget again where I read these things, but I know this one guy that he had an interview for a job, that it was his dream job.
Mm-hmm.
And he was really excited about the job, and he started visualizing having the job. He visualized it, and he went as far as buying business cards with his name on them for the company in his position.
Wow.
And he went all in on the job.
Yeah.
And he got to the interview, and he blew the interview away, and the guy said, "Wow, we're confident that, you know, we have other interviews today, but I'm sure you're certainly going to be one of our finalists." And mm-hmm. the guy said, "I want you to understand this is not arrogance. I feel me having this job. This is a career. I'm passionate about that. It's in the roundabout. It's a neuroscience job of." With his pharmaceutical company, and he's great at it.
Oh, wow.
And so the guy's like, "Look, you know, here, hold on a second." He said, "Look, they offered him the job. So we're going to interview other people. We might hire another person too, but we're hiring you." That energy was so strong. He believed it so strongly. He was already in the position.
Wow.
And the guy laughed. He said, "Well, I've saved you some money. Here's my business card." And the guy died laughing. And this is a neuroscientist, by the way. So the fact that he believes it at that level,
yeah.
So that, you know, looking at it when you open up the jobs and you're looking for a job and you're like, "Oh, it's overwhelming. There's so many ads and there's so many people doing it. The process is so slow and online." Well, it opens up the job search. It also, it's just thousands of people are applying for jobs. How do I make my application or resume be the one that sticks out?
Mm-hmm.
And all you can do is passionately word your letter of not from "I desperately need your job." They
yes.
can pick up on that. But this is what I want to do. This isn't about just money. I want this. A job brings a lot more to the table than money. And when you feel it on that level,
yes.
is when it starts responding. When you're wanting it too hard, you unintentionally, this we talk about this a lot, Walt, you're unintentionally pushing it away. And I'd love for, in fact, next week, if she would just post to remind us at the beginning of the show, I'd like to talk more in depth about that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm sure she'd appreciate that, too. So, Shireen, you know, be sure that you're here promptly next Thursday for the, you know, near the beginning of the show, and then post again, because as you can tell, Joel's passionate about it. The only reason he doesn't want to go on right now is he knows we have about a minute and a half left, and we can't do it justice in a minute and a half. But I want to echo what you're saying, Joel, because the passion behind it is really what matters. We do tend as human beings to think, "Well, okay, I want it, and this is what I want, and I visualize it. It's on my vision board and so forth." But we often forget about the feeling aspect of it. We just figure, okay, I just have to do the work of wanting it. And it really isn't enough. Like you're saying, you have to have the passion behind it. That's what the lesson was that I had from this past week, where I found that my passion went through the roof because I was so determined for my wife to survive and thrive from this medical condition she's dealing with. And that passion made all of the difference. I mean, it wasn't that my want had changed. My want was the same as it had been all along. But the passion right. just changed dramatically. And when it did, I started getting results fast, really fast. Now, I can't say that I've learned how to replicate that super passion every time, but I can always find some level of passion. And any level of passion helps.
If you can find it, that's where it lies.
Yeah.
The passion is what sells. The passion is what the law of attraction buys.
Exactly. Yeah, that passion's everything. Hey, before we part for the week and move on to the rest of our lives, as we usually do, I want people to know how to reach out to Joel Elston. Because, I mean, every one of you guys who are life coaches who do these shows with me all bring really great takes. Yours is one of the best ones I've ever heard. And undoubtedly, there are going to be some people who want to reach out. How do they find Joel Elston?
Simplest way is by email, joelelston@gmail. My website is joelelston.com. I'm in the process of beginning to redo all that, so that may be hit and miss. But the simplest way is joelelston@gmail.
Okay, sounds good. Joel, it's been a pleasure. I look forward to carrying on the conversation next week with you.
Walt, I love it. It's great to talk to you. And tell Louise, give Louise my best.
I will do that. Thank you so much. And we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.